This episode of the Taking Notes podcast is sponsored by Integra for Notes, the leading Microsoft Office integration and reporting tool for Lotus Notes. Integra for Notes improves your capabilities for data analysis, printing, graphing, mail merge, and even data importation into Notes by integration of Lotus Notes with Microsoft Word, Excel, XML, and PDF files. See Integra for Notes at Lotusphere 2007 at booth 610 for a demonstration of this outstanding product. Learn more about Integra for Notes by visiting their website at www.integrafornotes.com. That's www.integra4notes.com. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. I am Bruce Elgort, here with Chris Miller from the I Do Notes podcast, Julian Robichaud, Josh Schrager, who is the CEO of VoiceWrite, and David Brigida from IBM. Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Bruce. Great to be here.
David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. This is great to be here. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Josh, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about VoiceWrite before we get into things?
Sure. I'm the CEO of VoiceWrite. I've been the CEO and founder of this company, a company that I started 20 years ago. VoiceWrite has been primarily a computer telephony company building software products and providing services. And we've done those services primarily around IBM's product sets. We focus in on delivering telephony value-added applications around IBM middleware. And we have offices in Australia and the UK, as well as down here in South Florida. And primarily, our focus has been in the areas of unified messaging and voice response and call center systems.
Excellent. Thanks for that introduction. David, how about yourself?
Hi, my name's Dave Brigida. I'm with IBM. I'm the worldwide product line manager for IBM's unified messaging product and also the IBM WebSphere voice response product. I'm also located down in South Florida, and thank you very much for having me on this podcast. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Julian and Chris, I forgot to get you in there, but Julian, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Bruce, and I'm just sitting back and enjoying my cup of coffee and listening to the podcast at this point, I think.
No, we're gonna get you heavily involved. And as I mentioned earlier, we have Chris I Do Notes Miller. Chris, welcome.
Good morning.
All right, let's jump right into things today. You know, we're going to be talking about unified messaging and unified communications. You know, I know what voicemail is, and I think I have a good idea about unified messaging and communications. But for those people out there who don't know, David, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I know what voicemail is. I think I have a good idea of what unified communications and unified messaging is. But I don't think a lot of people out there in our sphere of listeners may not know what these things are. Can you jump right in and get us started?
Sure, let me give it a try here. In my mind, unified messaging is the integration of different streams of messages. So we have email and voicemail and fax mail, etc., into a single mailbox, and then provides the capability to access those messages from a variety of different devices like telephones, PCs, PDAs, cell phones, etc., from a single number access. From an enterprise perspective, you would think about it as integrating unified messaging to enhance workflows and improve business processes with those capabilities. Unified messaging, with respect to unified communications, I view unified messaging as a subset of unified communications. An example of that would be the SameTime 7.5 plugin for unified messaging that we'll talk about later that was developed by VoiceWrite. This is an excellent example of how unified messaging would fit within a unified communication solution.
Okay. Actually, we want to know, so the unified messaging for WebSphere piece, then what does that directly give those customers?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about IBM's unified messaging product. It's when we combine the unified messaging with the VoiceWriter applications, it's really about taking back control of your messaging. IBM's unified messaging product is one is enterprise-grade communications. So it's very highly scalable. We go from thousands of mailboxes to over 1.5 million mailboxes per system. It is very reliable. It's based on IBM Series P and our HACMP architecture. I can talk about that a little later. It supports the anytime, anywhere, any thing requirements for messaging. So the major components is IBM's WebSphere Voice Response, which is an IVR. And the IVR really provides the connectivity to the various telephony connections and also voice over IP. We have unified messaging applications, DB2, our Series P hardware. There's an open API for business partners like VoiceWrite to add value-added applications. We also have IBM's WebSphere Voice Response as part of the product, and then, of course, the tools. So when you look at it, it's really a complete solution from IBM, and that's what's really unique about our unified messaging product. It has the hardware, the software, the network connectivity, and also the IBM Global Services for global planning, development, installation, and support. So I think we bring it all together.
Wow. Now, is this something that would just completely replace the PBX system at a company, or it would kind of work with the phones that you already have?
That's an excellent question. One of the benefits of our unified messaging solution is it supports existing telephony networks. So there's no requirement to rip and replace an existing customer installation as you try to move or the customer moves to voice over IP. So we can fit right within the existing infrastructure and to provide a path and migration to voice over IP in the future.
Wow. Now, as far as the same time piece of this, is that something that we're allowed to talk about here, or are we going to wait until Lotusphere to discuss some of that integration?
Oh, we're prepared to talk about that now.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, so give us the overview, because I don't even know what to ask.
Surely. Essentially, what we've done is we've built probably one of the first, if not the first, unified messaging plugins that fits into SameTime. We take advantage of that Eclipse architecture that SameTime provides, and with that, we've provided access into your voice messaging infrastructure in some really interesting ways. Maybe as a little bit of background, the VoiceWrite client for SameTime plugin essentially is something that we have built and has been used by IBMers, for example, for about 3.5 years throughout IBM and throughout the world within IBM. Essentially, what it gives you is a couple of very interesting benefits that have made folks quite productive. So they don't need to pick up their telephone any longer to call into their voicemail to access their messages and delete their messages. All of their voice messages are essentially replicated to their SameTime plugin. They change their greetings by a few clicks on that SameTime plugin, and essentially they can record their greeting either through their PC or over the phone. Probably one of the more interesting enhancements that we've seen, especially for people on legacy PBXs, and as Dave was mentioning, the support for legacy PBXs and IP PBXs are built into the IBM Unified Messaging platform, is that if a call comes into your mailbox, even if you're on an old PBX, you're able to see who's calling and essentially control that call so that you can transfer it to your cell phone, you can transfer it to an assistant, or you can even transfer it to a soft phone, which is quite unique. In addition to that, you're able to type a instant message, if you will, and that instant message is converted to speech and spoken to the caller.
Well, let's ask an easy question a lot of people ask at this point, is that administratively, once you get this in place, hooked to the PBX, what does the end user have to do and configure on their side, besides their greeting, to connect into the VoIP or PBX system? Is it something I control on the server side? Is it something the users have to do?
Well, you you have the option of really setting up your mailbox first, either over the telephone through the telephone user interface that IBM Unified Messaging provides, or you have the ability to do that all from the SameTime client. So if you've downloaded the SameTime client plugin through the download feature that SameTime provides for you, it appears on your desktop, and at that point you have the ability to re-record all of your greetings and establish your call forwarding numbers and all the parameters that establish your profile on the unified messaging system all from your desktop.
So pretty much end-user friendly once they get it down to their desktop.
It really is, and we've had to do that because customers like IBM, where we literally have well over 100,000 users using this product throughout the world inside of IBM, have, through the last 3 years, have created an environment where we'd have to not only make it simple, but make it very intuitive for all individuals in all languages.
Mm-hmm. And I had one more easy one, just so they get an idea of storage. You use the word replicate down, and then you talked about hooking into the PBX. Where does the voicemail live and sit? So for like data storage, is it in my mail file? Is it local on my machine? Is it on the server, you know, the VoIP PBX?
It's a great question, Chris. So essentially, it's sitting in both places. Your voice messages that are initially stored on the unified messaging system, and that's stored in the database, in the DB2 database that's embedded in the IBM unified messaging system, and that voice message is instantly replicated as soon as your SameTime client is plugged into the network. So a copy of your voice messages are actually sitting both in SameTime as well as in the IBM Unified Messaging System and are kept in constant sync. So if you delete that while you're on delete your voice messages while you're on an airplane and then connect in after you land to the network, your voice messages will be then deleted off the server. So they live in both places.
So you have access to offline mode in the new SameTime 7.5.
Yes, and we essentially take advantage of the fact that we've keep those voice messages stored in on the PC and utilize some of the features of SameTime 7.5's offline mode as well as our own database that stores that messages. And I should add that those messages are actually encrypted on your PC, so there's some additional infrastructure work that we've done to store those messages in some unique ways to protect companies from companies in terms of security and copying voice messages off.
Your own encryption standards or public ones, or what did you guys do there?
It's a well-known encryption standard that I believe is TwoFish that we utilize built
okay.
into that.
Cool.
All right, what about people on the road who use SameTime Connect and stuff like that? I mean, how does this product work, you know, with traveling users?
It actually works very well. So if you think about a mobile salesperson who is away from his office...
On the golf course.
On the golf course, got his Verizon or Sprint card plugged in, his EVDO card in his laptop, and there's checking his email. He essentially has a view towards the activity in his voicemail box right from his SameTime client. So even if, again, he's on a old-style PBX as well as a voice over IP PBX, he gets notified in real time that a call has just arrived in his voicemail, and at which time he can decide whether he wants to transfer it to his cell phone, type a message saying, I'm on the 18th hole and I'm about to... putt, and that control and that access is in real time back to the caller on the far end. So they truly can be anywhere, anytime, and have virtually any telephony environment in their office and control their voicemail and control their IBM Unified Messaging System through SameTime.
I'll throw a crazy one out there just because I got it in email the other day. I got an email, and it linked to me that it just hit me now that it's the same name that I got in my email, IPC Blue. Is that some of the name of the product line you're calling this, or?
Yes. Well, IPC Blue is the name that we've given this initiative that we are bringing forth to the market. Essentially, IPC Blue is our name, our family name for all the products, including our name dialer password reset products. We have a message waiting light over IP product that turns on and off message waiting lights over legacy IP products. All of our software products are basically WebSphere and IBM software-based products that we have encapsulated under this name, IPC Blue.
I got a question. I have a thought here, thinking about this. You know, here we are talking about using voice over IP connectivity in our same time connect client. What about a lot of these vendors? If a company, say, has a Cisco, you know, voice over IP system, how does it integrate at that point? Because clients will usually have, you know, a piece of software on their desk that they interact with and engage with. You know, why put it in same time connect?
Essentially, if you have a Cisco voice over IP PBX or virtually any PBX, the IBM Unified Messaging platform has a native SIP connectivity built into it, so it will connect directly without use of T1 cards, but a direct Ethernet connection, if you will, directly to that PBX. Once that connection is established, you have the ability now to essentially add unique control to your voicemail and your voice messaging, as well as these abilities of providing presence functions, and we can talk a little bit about the presence capability. Not only do you see in each voice message whether somebody is online or not, but if the same time client has established the decorators for whether somebody is on the phone or off the phone, that, of course, would be brought into that environment. So you could see the present status of an individual. In addition to that, you have the ability to link the presence capability built into the location awareness that SameTime 7.5 now has, and link that to your greetings. So if you picture an employee who has come back early for an urgent issue and had their voice messages set or their voice greetings set to their vacation or away messages, when they come into their office and they plug in their laptop, SameTime 7.5 says, ah, I see that you're now in your work location. Well, not only does 7.5 pick that up, but also our client picks that up as well, as and essentially asks the caller if asks the subscriber if they would like to be able to change their greetings to their available and working at the office greeting, and their greetings get changed. So there's an intelligence to syncing their greetings to their present status. So there's a number of things that we're able to take advantage of because of the ability of SameTime 7.5 and its ability to pick up SIP connectivity and as well connect to the SIP and presence functions of IP-based PBXs.
Yeah, Chris, now you know why we had you on the podcast, because to Jillian and I, a lot of this is, you know, new territory. So thanks for helping out.
And I had a question. That's the best part, is I had a question about, we deal with a lot out of the SMB space that says we want to replace what we have. Do you guys have it ready and out of the box in the directions, or let's say they want to put in free VoIP asterisk stuff. Do you guys have it ready to go, or you can tell them this is what you need to do to hook it and they'll be live in a matter of, you know, days? Or is it something they have to deal with on their end with their own PBX systems?
In most cases, connecting the IBM Unified Messaging System out of the box is certainly software they can order from IBM. It's Passport Advantage software. They could as well order it from partners like IBM Global Services and have the system implemented for them. The software and the instructions for doing that are available. In many cases, it's usually takes some amount of planning to understand how best to configure these systems. So there's probably some services involved with regards to planning and architecting it. But bringing it up and running and testing it out and being able to actually get it running against an asterisk system is certainly possible. The IBM platform itself is a P-series based unified messaging system, and then our software is a downloadable plugin, which is pretty self-explanatory for the end user to use.
Weird question. We got to bring up the compliancy issue. We know you have them locally. Does the product have some sort of management policy deletion? And you said they're encrypted locally. Are they stored as, you know, compressed like MP3s? Are you guys doing WAV files? Can you give us a size and also the compliancy issue?
Sure. I have to say I haven't memorized the exact size per second of storage, but it's very nominal, especially in today's world regarding storage size. But regarding compliancy, that's a great question, and I think that's it's really an interesting question, and it has an interesting response depending upon where a company comes from. Some companies that we've approached who don't need to be compliant with Sarbanes-Oxley or FTC requirements don't necessarily want to store their voice messages on their systems for very long. They want those messages deleted and controlled and would prefer to control their voice messages. So centrally, from the IBM Unified Messaging System, you can decide how long messages should be stored on that same time plugin for, and then provide automatic or user-prompted expiration of that message, telling the user that their voice messages will be deleted or just deleting that right away. As well, since it is a controlled environment, if a company is in a regulatory, subject to regulatory constraints, they can certainly archive and store all voice messages, even those messages that are instantly received and deleted immediately by the subscriber. A copy can be stored offline from the IBM Unified Messaging System and streamed and archived in a backup system.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to add one more thing. Since the voice messages are encrypted and stored on the client, one of the nice capabilities again is the fact that an individual can't just go into a file and copy off the WAV files to play or use them. Those files will be unusable unless they're played from the client and the client controls whether or not to play those messages.
Oh, wow. Well, on the IBM side of all this, this is tied back into the IBM Unified Messaging Platform. And, what does that mean in terms of extensibility? You know, you've got the base set of functionality with PBX systems and same time. And I was wondering, kind of as a developer, since it's based on this larger platform, does that mean that I could, start portalizing some of these things? How extensible does that end up being?
The IBM Unified Messaging System has an open API that essentially allows individuals to be able to build, if you will, their own portal, very similar to the way that VoiceWrite has built our plugin for Same Time Eclipse. So it's possible to use that API to essentially build a JSR 168 compliant portal, if you will, or any other integration. There are places like Boston College, for example, who use the IBM Unified Messaging System to synchronize voicemail distribution lists with their student information system. So, for example, if a student has been added to a class and the professor decides that he's going to cancel class tomorrow or provide a new assignment, he can basically pick up the phone, record a voice message, and all those students who are part of his class will get a voice message in their distribution in their voicemail box through that synchronized distribution list to classless function that they have. And again, that's leveraging the open API infrastructure that the IBM Unified Messaging System has.
All right. Well, we covered a lot in the same time area here. Anything else we want to add before we talk about the VoiceWrite name dialer for Domino, guys?
Let's just jump right into that.
Actually, hold on. Before we go any further, David, you're still out there, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, and I just want to let everyone know that this episode of the Taking Notes podcast has been sponsored by Integra for Notes. That's Integra, the number 4, notes.com, who are the makers of some really great Microsoft Office integration and reporting tools for Notes and Domino. So check them out. All right, let's jump right into VoiceWrite name dialer for Domino. Who's stepping up to the plate here, guys? What is it?
How about you?
Neither one of them.
I can jump right in there on it. Essentially, the name dialer is the ability to provide a company a automated secretary, if you will, and it synchronizes the lists of employees and departments and so forth against the domino directory. So if you have installed our name dialer and as well the IBM Unified Messaging System, you can essentially place a phone call into a company, ABC Corporation, and say any person's name or directory, a listing that's in their directory, and essentially be connected to that individual. So an example of that is IBM US. There are 280,000 or so employees in North America that work for IBM. And you can essentially call into a IBM number and say anyone's name. You don't even have to say their location, and you can connect directly to them. That's using the VoiceWrite name dialer that IBM uses internally for its employees in order to call each other, so that if they're on a cell phone and they're driving along and they needed to call somebody, they don't need to essentially call into a help desk or bother the operators. They would be able to just call into this speech recognition system that recognizes them.
Yeah, if you ever need any help in the future, if you've heard Julian and myself pronounce names on the podcast, we'll be happy to be tested for you.
We'll definitely bring you guys in.
Incidentally, this is
all
Dave.
The time.
Incidentally, this is Dave. The speech recognition system used in the is the IBM WebSphere Voice Response, IBM WebSphere Voice Server for IBM that supports the IBM name dialer.
Okay, well, that's a good question then, and on the technical side, but I want to know, since we're talking about it so much, how accurate is the speech recognition, and what if you get more than one person with a large company, like you said, with the same name? What does it do?
Those are great questions. So on the recognition and accuracy side, it truly will depend upon the environment. So if you're in rush hour traffic with lots of horns blaring and you're on a hands-free environment, recognition isn't going to be as good on what they call a far-field microphone or a visor connected microphone in your car. However, the numbers that I can give you for some of our larger customers who have, let's say, 50,000 employees, you can actually get in the mid to low 90s in terms of accuracy overall, especially when you're calling inside of an office or you're calling from a landline. The accuracy is actually very good. And we did a comparison against all the speech recognition engines that were out there, and we had found that the IBM WebSphere Voice Server speech recognition engine is by far the best and did an incredibly great job, especially when it came to names, and especially North American names. It was incredible. So its accuracy is very good. Regarding the question of what happens if there are multiple people, when you set up the name dialer, you can actually establish what are the disambiguated fields that you would use, so that if you decided that it's in terms of how IBM uses it, for example, they do it by department. So there might be a Joe Smith in Maryland, and there may be two Joe Smiths in Maryland, but one might be working for a global services, and one might be working for a software group. And it will differentiate them by picking up those fields from the directory and speaking that back to the caller, asking them which department you'd like to choose to connect with that individual.
Wow. Now, I don't know anything about this, the voice response piece on the WebSphere side. Is that something that kind of learns in terms of the commands that are spoken to it or something like that? Or how does the voice response system work?
The voice response system essentially is divided up into a couple of different portions. There is the speech recognition engine, which essentially has what's called an acoustic model, where the audio from many, many conversations and callers have been transcribed and brought into the IBM speech recognition system to provide all of the accents and variations of pronunciation and so forth. And that's built into the IBM speech recognition engine, and has been for the last 30 years or so that IBM has been in the speech recognition business. It's probably one of their longest-running research projects and technologies that they have invested in the software area. So that is the platform, if you will, the acoustic model and the speech engine. And then on top of that, VoiceRite has built its name dialer, which has all the variations and nicknames that you have for an individual. So my name is Josh, and if somebody calls into the system and says Joshua, it will pick up that variance in the name and synonym, and it will recognize that you wanted Joshua Schrager, even though you said Josh Schrager. As well, all of the more unusual and unique pronunciations that the speech recognition engine itself had not accounted for, you can provide in our system. So if you want to type in Smythe versus Smith, you can essentially pronounce names differently for individuals if people are being misrecognized. But overall, right out of the box, even in the largest of implementations, we find that the quote-unquote tuning component of deploying the name dialer is a very small amount of time, especially given the fact that the U.S. And North American-based speech recognition is very matured. Now we have deployed that across the world for IBM into other locations like Germany and the U.K., and those two have become quite matured in their recognition models and speech recognition, so they're very close to the U.S. speech recognition accuracy as well.
What about if I called in, say, to IBM and I said customer support? Would that transfer over to, say, to a hunt group or something like that, or...?
It would. So essentially, if you had customer support in your LDAP directory or your notes directory, it would pick up the fact that customer support equals that telephone number that's in the directory, and it would repeat that back to you. You said customer support. Is that correct? Yes. And would transfer it off. If it had a very high confidence that you said customer support, then it wouldn't even ask you to verify. It would transfer that call straight off. And even those parameters are configurable within the name dialer.
Uh-huh. You mentioned something with the Domino directory before. First, I got two things for you. How many names can be, you know, stored in the Domino directory that you guys can pick up on? And how do you perform the synchronization between the Domino directory and your system?
Surely. Some of those questions, I have to say, I'm not sure of the APIs that development folks have used exactly to synchronize between the Domino directory. And I know that we do support LDAP, and I believe we have NSF access directly into the notes databases. In terms of the size of how large of a directory we can support, inside of IBM, for example, the 280,000 names that are stored on the IBM Boulder system are easily accessible. So we know we can do at least 280,000 names and possibly more for 411 systems and the like. But from a corporate standpoint, we think we can get as large as people have employees.
You say large-scale directories. Do you know, are these names cached on your server somehow, or is it always accessing the directory consistently? What sort of, you know, performance-wise do you get out of that? Is there a time delay between the time they speak a name?
It's actually, there's a couple of levels of caching that goes on. Firstly, on a nightly basis, the names are actually extracted from the directory. Let's say there's 280,000 names, for example. And then what we do is we then break those names down into all of the different permutations for nicknames and so forth. And those get stored on our server so that we actually might have a couple of million names and variations of pronunciations and so forth that are handled. And that, if it's a very large directory, that may take 30 minutes or 40 minutes on a nightly basis, but that happens in a background process. But if it's a small directory of 10,000 or so, that those happen in a few seconds. Those are then stored on our servers, and then those are cached as people call in. They're cached in that regard. But the access time, in the case of IBM, for example, who actually runs on some mid-sized PCs, are somewhere around 2 to 3 seconds in very large directories for it to pick up the variation of the name. So it's amazingly fast. And that's thanks to, again, the IBM speech recognition engine, who provides some of that caching and very fast recognition around that.
All right.
Are there language?
Oh, sorry.
I was going to add one more, Bruce. Then,
yeah, no problem.
He brought it up. He brought up and said, you said North American names. Are there language packs, or how do you train it for non-common pronunciation names?
Sure. So that's an interesting question. So, for example, if you're a if you have a French name and you're calling in to a into a U.S. directory, most probably you're going to be pronouncing that French name as if an American would read that. So the language or model and the acoustic model that comes with the name dialer for North American English is essentially assuming that it's a North American person speaking a French name. However, if you install our system in France or in Germany, you would install it with the IBM speech recognition engine for that particular country, and in that case, our speech recognition system would pick up those variations, again, based on both the work that IBM has done as well as some work that we have done to tune that to the languages. And there are approximately 9 different languages that we can support with the IBM speech recognition engine.
All right. I think we covered a lot of territory. Anything else you guys, Chris, Julian, need to ask David or Josh at this point?
I'm trying to find the software to download, actually.
All right. And Julian?
No, I'm good, Bruce.
David, any wrap-up comments for the listeners?
No, I, the only thing I would say is that the Webfare Voice server is it really has been a great product. Speaker independency is one of the key attributes that Josh is mentioning, and the ability to handle the multiple pronunciations of that comes with proper names. It's a great product, and it's used extensively inside IBM and also with our customers in name dialer applications.
Excellent. And Josh, you want to wrap things up for everyone here?
Surely. I really appreciate this opportunity to speak on your podcast, and I want to let people know that we're going to be at Lotusphere in booth 621. We will also have the availability on our website in a few weeks for people to actually sign up for free demonstrations and downloads of our SaveTime client.
Excellent. Well, thank you and David for being on the podcast. Chris, thanks for helping us out today. And that'll make it a wrap, guys.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again. Take care.
This episode of the Taking Notes podcast was sponsored by Integra for Notes, the leading Microsoft Office integration and reporting tool for Lotus Notes.